Welcome to all the new students, Talmidim, who are here. Welcome back to all the Talmidim who have returned to Yeshiva. Baruch Hashem, our Yeshiva is blessed with many great Rosh Yeshiva, Rebbeim, Talmidei Chachamim, who are here to teach Torah and learn Torah with you. Hopefully throughout the year we'll have different opportunities to hear from different Rebbeim. Tonight we have the special chus to hear a Shir Psicha, Mesechah Sanhedrin from Shefter Shalita.
The opening pasuk in yesterday's parsha records the Mishnah of the mitzvah of Hamadas Dayanim. We have a mitzvah to appoint Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael, b'chol sharecha, in every city. The Gemara points out that the Umas Olam also have a mitzvah of dinim, to have a system of courts, but they're not obligated to have a bezdin, to have a court in every single city, only b'chol plach u'plach, in every region, that they should be able to take care of all the cases that come up. And Bnei Yisrael and Chutz Lortz also only have the obligation to appoint a bezdin b'chol plach u'plach in every region, that it should take care of all of the cases. And in Eretz Yisrael, there's an added mitzvah, probably because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is that Eretz Yisrael should be perfect. It should be clean, like they have on the soda bottles. It says, Shmor al nikar yon ha'aretz. Don't throw your soda bottles all over the place. Make sure you throw it in the garbage. And the mitzvah in the beginning of Parshas Re'eh, there's a mitzvah bir avodah zarah. So the Gemara says the mitzvah bir avodah zarah applies bein boris bein mechutz lo'aretz, but applies more so in Eretz Yisrael. Abei ti abdun is kolam kameis. Abei v'achakach ti abdun. So the Gemara says in Eretz Yisrael there's a mitzvah tzorach l'sharei shacharei. You have to go search out, see where the avodah zarah is, and get rid of it. In Chutz Lo'aretz, if I buy a house and I find avodah zarah in the house, I have to destroy it. But I have to go search out to do bir avodah zarah on the whole city, New York City, not mechuyev. And Eretz Yisrael, you're mechuyev because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So here also, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, you have to see to it that every single city, the Gemara and Sanhedrin are going to discuss what's the minimum number of population you have to have in a city that it should be considered an ear, and what's the configuration that's necessary. Just you have 20 houses near each other, that's called a city. So that's a discussion in Sanhedrin and other Masechtas. So the opening Pasuk in Shoftim has the mitzvah of Hamadas Dayanim, and this is the first Simen HaChosh Mishmat. There is a mitzvah of Hamadas Dayanim. The very first comment that the Nesivus makes, Choshe Mishpat Simen Aleph Sekot and Aleph, he raises the question whether the mitzvah still applies Bizman Hazeh on the level of the Raisa. What's the issue? Because when you have a Bezdin has to be Elohim, Loshen Chol, means that they have to have Smicha. The Menchas Chinuch, whenever he quotes the Pasuk, when Ikbal Bais El Halehim, he always says Elohim with a Kuf. So Rav Soloveitchik was not happy about that. Elohim is when you're talking about the Ribbono Shel'Olam. Here it's not Kodesh, here it's Chol. Here it's Elohim. So the Gemara on this says, Nikabal Bais Elhu Elohim, means that you have to have the members of the Bezdin have to have smicha. Whatever Bezdin is, they have to have smicha. So Bezman is that nobody has any smicha. The Gemara is going to explain, smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. And smicha can only be conferred Ish Mipiyish Ad Moshe Rabbeinu. You have to have a Shalshela, some Masorah, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And that chain of Masorah was broken 1500 years ago. And all of the smicha that we have today is only imitation smicha. That's, to best of my knowledge, that's the only place where the Ramon Shulchan Aruch quotes the Abarbanel. In Yeredei Chele Gimel, the Ramon quotes the Abarbanel that the smicha today is imitation smicha. I don't know what you have to quote the Abarbanel. Everybody knows that. You learn the Gemara Sanhedrin. You see in the first paragraph, hey, that it's only a takana of Rebbe. Rebbe made a takana Talmud, Al Yerim Kei Notel Vishus Mei Rabbi. You're not allowed to paskan a shayla unless you have authorization, unless you have permission from your Rebbe. That's why in Yiddish, in Europe, they didn't call it smicha. They used to call it heter hairua, permission to paskin. Talmud al yore, a Talmud shouldn't paskin unless he has reshus from his Rebbe. And the Gemara, in the context in the Gemara, why did Rebbe make the takonim? Because there was a Talmud who knew the halachas very well, but he didn't have a clear diction. He didn't speak clearly. And he gave a psak, he told the balabatim a din, and they misunderstood it. They thought he said a different din. And it came out a big michshol. So the Gemara says, Rebbe made a takonim, No one should give a shiur talmud al yore. It means he shouldn't give a public shiur unless he has rishus from the Rebbe. The Rebbe has to make sure that they have courses in public speaking in order to give a smicha. You have to have a course in homiletics, how to speak well. An allocution, you have to know how to speak well, how to explain yourself well. That's the context of the Gemara. The Rebbe shouldn't give permission to Paskin or to give a shiur unless the Talmud knows the halachas, but that's not enough. He has to be a good speaker and he has to be able to explain himself well. So that's what the Ramah quotes from the Abar Benal, what everybody else knows, not a chiddush from the Abar Benal, that the smicha that we have today is only imitation smicha. And the Gemara says in the end of the Gittin, we'll learn the second daf in Sanhedrin, and how does it work? So in the days of the Amoraim, the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael did have smicha. Ish mipi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu. But in Bovel, you can't confer smicha unless you travel to Eretz Yisrael. So today, everybody goes, every other week, you travel to Eretz Yisrael. In the days of the Gemara, was too expensive, so they couldn't travel to Eretz Yisrael. So all of the Rabbanim in Bovel, all the Amoraim in Bovel, had no smicha. Tosis points out in a few places that there were two friends, Rebbe Ami and Rebbe Yasi were friendly. They both lived in Eretz Yisrael. They both had smicha, Rebbe Ami and Rebbe Yasi. Then there were two friends in Bovel who had the same names, Rav Ami and Rav Asi. They didn't have any smicha. Rav means reverend, and Rebbe means rabbi. Rabbi means that he has bona fide smicha because he got the smicha in Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Ami and Rav Asi were two other people with the same names who were friendly with each other who both lived in Bovel because they didn't have any smicha. So the Gemara poses the question in the end of Gittin, how can we make Dinei Torah today if we don't have any smicha? So the Gemara says, Shlichosai ku avdinon. The Rabbanim in Bovel function as the Shluchim of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. So Tosis and all the Rishonim ask him, what about Bizman Hazeh? There aren't even any Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael have any smicha today. So how can we paskin anything today? We can't say we're the Shluchim of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael don't have real smicha either. So the Rishonim say, Shlichosai de kamoi ku avdinon. We function as the Shluchim of the Chachamim from 1500 years ago who did have smicha. So the Chasam Sofer has a tshuva, and the Chiddush Aran has this on the first daf in Sanhedrin. The Chasam Sofer raises the question, what do you mean? We are the shluchim of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, and if a kohen is lazy to go duchen and he'll appoint a Yisrael to go duchen for him, a kohen can't appoint a Yisrael to go duchen for him. The one who's duchening has to be a kohen. And if a kohen is lazy, he'll appoint a Yisrael to go to the Beis HaMikdash and be makor karbonis. That doesn't work. The one who's makor karbonis has to be a kohen. So what do you mean? The shluchim, the smuchim in Eretz Yisrael appointed the rabbanim of chutz lars who don't have any authentic smicha. They don't have any honest to goodness smicha. They appoint them as the shluchim to paskin, but they don't have the qualification. You have to have smicha to paskin. How can you be a shliach if you don't have the smicha? And then furthermore, what do you mean? There's a Mishnah in the first Perek in Gittin. If the husband appointed a shliach to give a get to his wife, then the husband died before the shliach gave the get to the wife. So the Mishnah says, the shliachus is batla mevutal. If the mishalech died before the shliach did the shliachus, so the whole shliachus falls apart. So how can we today, how can we function as shluchim of the chachamim who died 1500 years ago? If the mishalech died, so the shliach can't function anymore as a shliach. So the Chasam Sofer has the explanation, which the Ran quotes from the Ramban, the beginning of Sanhedrin. Shluchosai doesn't really mean that we function as shluchim. The kohen cannot appoint a non-kohen as a shliach to duchen or to be makor karbonis for him. Shluchosai means that there's an iser, ela mishpatim hashetosim lifnehem. When you have it in the Torah, you have to go lifnehem. Who's lifnehem? Elohim. The dayanim smuchim who are mentioned in the parsha, nikra bal bais elu Elohim. So the Chachamim understood from the Pasuk, lifneim v'lo lifnei hadyotos, that there's an iser that you're not allowed to go to non-smuchim. So this iser is mishum kvodim shala smuchim. If you have a choice to go to smuchim at the non-smuchim, so it's an iser, it's a bizoyan to the smuchim if you don't go to them. But if the smuchim are moichel on their covered, so then there's no iser. And whenever there's no iser, so there's no psul. And even Bizman Hazeh, that nobody has any smicha, it's not that we are the shluchim, shluchat sa'ad de kamoi. The kamoi, 1500 years ago, they realized that the institution of smicha is going to disappear soon, because there were xeris, the Nochrim kept on making xeris. The Gemara in the first parak of Sanhedrin tells that one of the Tanoim was Moshe Nefesh, he gave up his life. He knew that the Romans would kill him. He felt you have to give smicha in a public fashion. Today, you give smicha, let's say you go to shul, could be that a lot of people in the shul have smicha. Not everybody knows who has smicha, doesn't have smicha. It's a quiet thing. But in the days of the Gemara, when it was real bona fide smicha, the smicha had to be conferred in public. That's how it says by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to give smicha to Yeshua ben Nun v'tzivisa also li'einehem. He should appoint him as a samoch in the presence of Bnei Yisrael. So the Tana, the Gemara said, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda ben Bovo felt he has to confer smicha in a public fashion, and he knew that they're going to kill him. So he was maisa nefesh to preserve the smicha institution for another couple of generations, and then it conked out. So the Chachamim, 1,500 years ago approximately, they knew that the smicha institution is going to end. So they were moichel on their kavod, so that's why we can function today. So that's what the Nesivos raises a question. In Siman Aleph, Sukkot and Aleph, in Chosh HaMishpat, he raises the question that today the Dayanim don't have bona fide smicha. We only function as shlichusai de kamoi. So he raised the question, this shlichusai union that enables us to constitute a bezin, is this a din deraisa? And we are in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Hamadas Dayanim in HaTorah. This mitzvah, the opening pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, or maybe this shlichusai is only the Rabbanim. So he points out that it seems to be a machlokes Tosfos in the Rashba, because the Gemara says in Yevamos and other places in Krisis that Ger Tzarech Shloisha, Tosfos on the first daf quotes it in Sanhedrin, when you mekabel a Ger, so you have to have a bezin of three, just like Didi Mamonis needs a bezin of three. So when you mekabel a Ger, you have to have a bezin of three present supervising the Geris. The different opinions exactly which part of the Geris process has to have the bezin. If it's a man who's misgayer, he has to have a bismillah. And if it's a man or a woman, so you have to have a tefillah and a mikveh, and then you have to have, of course, kabbalas on mitzvahs. That's the most important thing. So there's one opinion in Tosfos that you only need the bezin present when you have the kabbalas on mitzvahs. Then there's another opinion in Tosfos that's not sufficient. You have to have the bezin present when the ger is tovel in the mikveh as well. Then there's a third opinion in Shulchan Aruch that you even have to have the bezin present when you do a bris milah. If it's a man, you have to have the bezin present. And then there's a discussion, b'di'evit, what if you didn't have a bezin when they did the bris milah? Would it be good b'di'evit? Different opinions in Shulchan Aruch. But in principle, the halacha's details are machloikis. But in principle, the halacha requires ger tzarech shlosh, you need a bezin of three. So Tosfos is bothered with akasha. How do we today have the ability to be mekabel gerim? If geris needs a bezin of three, means you have to have bezin of three smuchim. Nobody has any real bona fide smicha today. So how can we be mekabel gerim? So Tosfos and the Rishonim give several answers. So one of the answers that Tosfos says is it's shlichusai. The Gemara says that we today have the right to function. Midin shlichusai. So Tosfos apparently thinks shlichusayu is a principle that works min haTorah. And the Rashba quotes the Tosfos. The Rashba in the middle of Yevamos and the sugya of Geris quotes the Tosfos and disagrees. He says shlichusayu is just a fancy way of saying hefker bezin hefker. Shlichusayu only works in a din Torah and nidi mamonis. It can't work in Issa v'Heter. Can work in Geirus, in Dini Mominis, even though there is no Bezin Paskinik today, because the Bezin is puzzle, the Bezin doesn't have any smicha. But the Chachamim 1,500 years ago declared Hefker Bezin Hefker. They're authorizing us to make a Psak Din, even though the Psak Din is not valid on the level of their Isa, but with the Rabbanon it's valid, and Hefker Bezin Hefker, so they can Paskin like that. So how does the Rashba answer the kasha? How can we be mekabel gerim as manazei? Can't say shlichusayu. He says shlichusayu doesn't work min haTorah, so it only works in didi mamonis mitam hefker bezin hefker. How does it work in geris? So the Rashba thinks that even bisman haTanoim, even bisman haGemar, that there were real smuchim, you never needed a bezin of three smuchim for geris. It was sufficient a bezin of shlosha hedyotis. Tosfos thinks that bisman haGemar, when smuchim were available, so Ger Tzor Shloisha, the Bezin needs three smuchim. And the Rashba thinks that the Bezin does need three smuchim. So you're going to have to figure out what exactly is in the Kudus HaMachlokes between the Tosfos and the Rashba. Whether Geris needs a min haTorah, Geris needs a Bezin of three hadyotos, so min haTorah Bezin of Shloisha smuchim. The Rashba is problematic. The Gemara in the end of Gittin tells the story Rav Yosef lived in Bovel. And he was a reverend, Rabbi Yosef. He wasn't Rabbi Yosef, didn't have smicha. So Rabbi Yosef lived in Bovel, and he was Ma'ase Agitin. The halacha sometimes allows the bezin to force the husband to give his wife a get. Sometimes you force the husband to give his wife a get because of an aver ben adam lamokam. A kohen is married to a grusha. Yisrael is married to a mamzeres. So you beat him up till he gives the wife a get. And sometimes Tosis points out, sometimes you kai for the husband to give it get to his wife. But he's a miserable husband. He's mean to the wife. So then you kai for the husband to give it get because of bin adam lachaveiroi. That's a question now. To what extent in America there's freedom of religion? So you're not supposed to force anybody to do anything religious. So to what extent does Din and the Malchus apply, and to what extent do we say that the laws of the Torah are above Din and the Malchus? So that's a question not to be discussed tonight. So the Gemara says that Abaye was a student of Rabbi Yosef, so he raised an issue. How do you have the right to force the husband to give a get? The halacha requires Ela Mishpata Meshetosim Lefneim, goes on in Yoni Kfiya, goes on in Yoni Isui, on forcing people to observe the mitzvahs HaTorah. So you have to be a bezin smuchim. You don't have any smicha. So it's an issue of this of the head. It's not an issue of dinim aminim. So Yosef answers, we are doing shlichus sayu. The rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael do have smicha. So we function as shlichus sayu of those in Eretz Yisrael. So there is a beferish gemara like Tosfos. The gemara applies shlichus sayu to a case of isa veheta. That's not dinim aminim. That's maase agiti. So that's a problem. You're going to have to look into that. What would the Rashba do with that gemara? So the very opening Mishnah in Sanhedrin speaks basically of three different types of bati dinim. You have a bezin, a dinim amenis, which the Mishnah says constitutes three dayonim, constitute a bezin. Then for the purpose of dinim nefashos, you need a bezin of 23. Then for certain rare cases, you need a bezin hagodol of 71. Each one of these cases happens to be a machlekes, whether that number is really accurate. We Paskin in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yudah Nasi was the editor of the Mishnais. He didn't author the Mishnais. The Mishnais preceded him, but he edited the Mishnais. So Rabbi Yudah Nasi is quoted in the Tosefta, the Gemara, quotes a Tosefta, the beginning of Sanhedrin. Rabbi Yudah Nasi disagrees with the Mishnah. He thinks that you need five Dayanim, and it didn't turn the Imam. So if he edited the Mishnais, how come he didn't put in his own opinion? He should say, Din Imam is Peshlosha Rebbe Yame Bachamisha. That's how it says in the Tosefta. So you look on the bottom of the page in the standard editions of the Gemara, of the Tosefta in the back, so they quote from the Sefer HaKrisis, from one of the Balei HaTosfos writes, that Rabbi Yudah Nasi knew that his opinion was rejected, and it's not fair that he should put it just because he's editing the Mishnais. He knew that nobody held like him. So he left it out in the Mishnais. He was honest. Sometimes you have Rabbanim who know that they're in the minority, and they keep on pushing their opinion. They travel all over the country, and they're mefarsim their shittas. And they have been outvoted. So they should do like Rabbi Yudah Nasi. If you're outvoted, so you shouldn't put your opinion. Put it, write a book and put it in your book, but he's not going to put it in the middle. So we paskin dinim amenes b'shloisha, not b'chamisha. Then dinim nefashos needs a bezin of 23. So the Mishnah explains, how do they arrive at this magical number of 23? So the Mishnah explains, because you have a pasuk in the end of Chumash Bamidbar, where the Torah says, V'shavta ho'edo v'hitzila ho'edo. There is no such pasuk. That's a part of one pasuk and a part of another pasuk. But if you read a few psukim there, so that's what it says, V'shavta ho'edo ben amaka ben goel adam nein v'hitzila ho'edo. So you need edo shafetes ve'edo matzela. Edo has a connotation of 10 people, because by the miraglim, there were 12 miraglim, and Yeshua b'kolev gave an honest report. And the other 10 were the miserable miraglim, because of whom Tisha B'Av was nikva as a day of chiyah l'doros. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Amos Eido Hara Hazos, he's referring to the 10 rotten meraglim, and he refers to them as Eido. So the Mishnah understands that the word Eido that appears in Chumash quite a few times has the connotation of 10. So v'shoftu Eido, v'shoftu means that you have to have the ability of having 10 members in the Sanhedrin who say that the man is guilty. He deserves the death penalty. B'shofta means a judgment l'choiva. B'hitzila hu'eda, the next pasuk has the connotation that you have to have the ability of having 10 members of the Sanhedrin who are judging the case of the nefashos. You have to have the ability to have 10 dayanim saying that he's potter from Isa. So you already have to have 20 members in the Sanhedrin. You have to have the ability to have 10 say chay misa and 10 say potter from Isa. You're just going to have 20, 10 are going to say chay, 10 are going to say potter, so there won't be any hachra. So you have to have, the Gemara learns that from a pasuk, ein bezin shokel, so you have to have an odd number of dayanim. So you should have 21 members in the bezin. So then the Mishnah says, but that's not sufficient, because you're going to have a split vote in the Sanhedrin 11 say one way and 10 say the other way. So if the 11 say that he's, to acquit him, to say that he's pata from Isa, so Rav Avechad is enough. If it's 11 to 10, to pata him, so that's enough. But in order to be mechayiv him, the pasuk says in Parshas Mishpatim, L'siyach Ram L'Roy, so you can't give an Einish Misa based on a split vote if it's only a Rav Avechad. If it's 11 to 10, and the 11 say Chai Misa, so you can't administer the death penalty. So you have to have a Rav of Shnayim. So you have to have the possibility to have 12 to say Chai Misa and 10 to say Pata. But you're going to have 12 to 10, it's going to be a Bezen Shokel, it's going to be an even number Bezen. And we learn that from the Pasuk again, Bezen Shokel, and you're not supposed to have an even number Bezen. So that's how they arrived at the conclusion that you need a Bezen of 23. So that's the Mishnah. The Gemara doesn't quote anybody who disagrees. But in the moment they quoted Rabbi Yudal Nasi, Rebbe disagrees, he thinks that Bezna 5, but his opinion, he knew his opinion was not accepted, so he didn't mention it in the Mishnais. It's only his Talmidim put it into the Tosefta. Rebbe Rabboshi with Talmidim of Rebbe. The Mishnah doesn't mention any other opinion other than 23. Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes another source. Rabbi Yosef Engel was a great Polish Goyen who died around 100 years ago. He quotes a source, he wrote an encyclopedia of his Chidush Torah. It's not an encyclopedia of Talmudit, it's an encyclopedia of his Chidush. So unfortunately, during his lifetime, he only printed Aleph in the beginning of Beis, and all the rest was destroyed by the Nazis. He didn't have enough money to print everything, and then they were waiting, then everything was destroyed, everything was burned by the Nazis, so we don't have it. But in the second volume, Beis, he has a long essay about Bittel Berov. So he quotes a psikta, he quotes a source from Tanoim that there was an opinion that was absolutely not accepted by the popular Batidinim, that for Bezen, for Nefashis, needs 30 Dayonim. Where did he get to the magical number of 30? So he tells you how. You need Vishavta Hoedah, Vitzilu Hoedah. You have to have the possibility of having 10 Dayonim say Chayiv Misa, Vishavtu, judging that he deserves the death penalty. You have to have the possibility of having 10 dayanim say pater, but it's going to be 10 against 10, so there's no hachra. So how much of a hachra do you have to have? So the pasuk says, achrei rabim lahatas. From that pasuk, the original pasuk, achrei rabim lahatas, the context of the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim is talking about a split vote of a bezin. So if you have a din Torah and din Imamunus and the vote is 2-1, so the two say is chayv and one says pata, so the two win, you go basarayv. So based on the very same pasuk, we have a din of bittel berayv, that if a treif of food gets mixed in with a kosher food, is bittel berayv, chad betray. Take for example, a treif, I have a business and I have Jews and non-Jews working there, and part of the deal is that I serve them lunch. I don't have to buy glatt kosher meals for the non-kosher workers. I bought a treif of salami for the non-Jewish people, and I bought two kosher salamis for the Jewish workers. And then they took off the wrappers, and now all the three salamis look exactly the same. There's no way to tell the difference between one and the other. So I know that I have one tray for salami, two kosher salamis. So that's called Yavish B'Yavish Min B'Mina. Chad B'Tray is bottle. That's the Lashon HaGemara. Chad B'Tray is bottle. One and two is bottle. So what would be the din if you have two tray for salamis and three kosher salamis? So if you have two treif of salamis and you have four kosher salamis, you have twice as much kosher as you have treif. You have four. Two times two is four, so you have kefil. But if you have three kosher salamis and two treif of salamis, so you don't have kefil, you don't have twice as much. So is that called chad betray bottle? Chad betray just means you have to have a little more. You have 25 treif of salamis and 26 kosher salamis. You have slightly more kosher than treif. Is that sufficient? Or if you have 25 tray for salami, maybe you have to have 50 kosher salamis for the tarubas of Yavish Mamish. So there's Amar Shoim Sochim that's quoted in Yeridah. When you learn for Smicha, you learn Yeridah Chelek Aleph. So in the Simen Kuftes, I think it is, in Simen about Yavish B'Yavish, Batel Chad B'Tray, so the commentaries on the side of the page quote this Maharsha in the middle of Maseches Pesachim. Maharsha assumes that you have to have kefil, you have to have twice as much in order to say bittel berayv. You have to have twice as much heter as isa. So then there's a discussion in Achronim, which Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes in his encyclopedia of his Chidushim, the Beis Oitza, Chelik Beis, under the topic of bittel berayv. Did the Maharsha mean to say this on the level of the Rais, or is this only intended as a chumrim midirabbanim? So some understood that it's a real din midat Torah, that you only say chad betray bottle if you have kefil. So if everything is based on the same pasuk, Chad betrei bottle by yavish b'yavish is based on the pasuk. Rashi says like that in a few places. Chad betrei bottle bitl b'roiv is based on the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim Acharam Lahatas, and Acharam Lahatas tells us that if you have a split vote in the bezin, you go b'saroiv. So if you need kefal min haTorah, when you're talking about tarubis, that the isa becomes bottle, so then you should really need kefal if you have a split vote in the bezin. So if you have a din tarab dini mominis and it's a split vote 2-1. So you have kefal, that's 2-1. But if you have a case of din in the nefashos and you have a bezin of 23, so 13 say chai misa, 10 say is pata for misa, that's not kefal. It would only be kefal if you have 30. So if Yosef Engel thinks, that's where this shita came up. That's where the shita came from. He quotes this source. I don't remember that it says anywhere in the Gemara, but he quotes, I think, a psikta that you have to have a din in the nefashos, you have to have a bezin of 30. Because you have to have a shoftuhed, a vitzilhuhed, you have to have the possibility of having 10 dayanim say chay misa, 10 dayanim say pata for misa, but then you have to have a beznaita, you have to be able to outvote those who say pata. In order to say chay, you have to have a rav, so you have to have 20 say chay and 10 say pata. But that's an obscure opinion, not quoted in the Gemara. So it's just like the bezna of 5, a dini mamonis is not accepted. And Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was kind enough not to put it into the Mishnah because he knew that his opinion was not accepted. So this shita also, that you need 30 by Din and Nefashos, is not the accepted opinion. We paskin that 23 is enough. Then the Mishnah says that there are certain rare instances when you require a bezin ha-gadol, al-shivim v'yechot. So the Mishnah has a machlokes hatanaim. How many members were there in the bezin ha-gadol? Because Parshas Bahalo Yischo, when HaKadosh Baruch instructs Moshe Rabbeinu, Esfali Shivim Ish, Asher Yadayti, Kehem Ziknei Ha'am V'Shotrov, gather together 70 Rabbanim and make a Bezna HaGadol. So it says 70, it doesn't say 71. So that's a Machlekes HaTanayim. Were these 70 added on with Moshe Rabbeinu? So 70 plus 1 is 71. So Bezna HaGadol needs 71, that's what we assume. What do you say? No, 70, Moshe Rabbeinu is separate, and the Bezna HaGadol is 70. So the accepted opinion is that the Bezin HaGadol was 71. Tosfos points out there is a Gemara, a famous Gemara in Megillah, where the Gemara says that Talmai HaMelech invited the 72 Rabbanim from the Bezin HaGadol to come to Alexandria, and he put them in 72 different rooms, and he instructed them, he wants them to translate the Torah into Greek. And there are a few psukim where they didn't translate literally. They touched up the pasuk a little bit, and it was a miracle. Min hashamayim, all 72 were mechavent to the same thing. All 72 touched up the same psukim. They say the name of Rabbi Hutner, Zechon Levracha. He was very sharp. Rabbi Hutner used to be the Rosh Hashiva and Chaim Berlin in Brooklyn. So they said it would have been a bigger ness if they would have been in the same room. They would have all agreed. Yeah, not such a big ness. In 72 different rooms, they said the same. Whatever was a big enough. Okay. So Tosfos says, where did he come off to have 72? It's a machlokes in the Mishnah where the Bezin HaGadol has 70, 71. How do you have 72? So Tosfos explains, we accept there's a machlokes where the Bezin HaGadol is 70 or 71. So the generally accepted opinion is 71. And then there's a Mishnah in Horius in the first parak, and Tosfos shows it's based on the Gemara in the first parak in Sanhedrin, that in addition to the Bezin HaGadol, there was a mamuna, there was a consultant from the Bezin HaGadol who was an expert, who was not a member of the Bezin HaGadol, but he before they would issue a psak, they would always clear it with the Echad Mamuna Aleihem. So that's why when Talmai HaMelech wanted to have the Tanakh translated into Greek, so he invited all 72, the 71 members of the Bezin HaGadol, with the mamuna, with the expert, with the consultant that they had. So basically, these are the three batei dinim that the Mishnah is going to talk about. A bezin of 3 for dinim mamonis, a bezin of 23 for dinim nefashos, and a bezin of 71, bezin ha-gadol, which is needed in rare cases. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, the Rambam quotes from the Tosefta, Gemara quotes this Tosefta, that there are two differences between the bezin ha-gadol al-shivim v'yechod and the bezin of 3 or the bezin of 23. The bezin of 3 or 23 doesn't meet on Shabbos and Yom Tov. There's a gzeira midirabbanan ain't done in b'Shabbos or b'Yom Tov. A mishnah in the end of beitza because a gzeira shem yichtov. When you have a din Torah, you have to keep notes. When the baladinim present their arguments, so you have to write down all the notes and write down the questions that you want to ask them. When the witnesses testify, you have to write notes. And then after you finish the din teres, you have to write down the psak. So there's a gzera midrabbanan. You're not allowed to have a din on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Gzera shem yichtov. You may get carried away and forget and write. So the Bezna of 3, Bezna of 23 never met on Shabbos Yom Tov, but the Bezna of 71 did meet on Shabbos Yom Tov. They met every day of the year, except for Tisha B'Av, okay? You're not supposed to learn on Tisha B'Av. But every other day they met. And then there's another difference. The Bezna of 3 and 23 would only meet in the morning, and then like at banker's hours, and they would call it quits, like in court. They call it quits around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that's it. Bezna Gadol would sit for longer hours. So it would appear, the Rambam quotes these from the Tosefta, it would appear that that's what Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, that the basic role, the basic function of the Bezna Gadol is not so much to judge cases. If it's to judge it's rare. How often does it come? A Novi Asheker. Once in 5,000 years, going to have a case of a Novi Asheker. How often is it going to come up? So basically, the role of the Bez Gadol is that it's the international koilel of Klal Yisrael. They're supposed to sit and learn. So koilel is supposed to meet Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur, and they're supposed to have long hours all day long. They're supposed to sit and learn. The Rambam writes in the opening halacha in Hilchas Mamrim that Bez Gadol should be Yerushalayim. They are the Ika Torah Shabbal Peh. They're supposed to transmit Torah Shabbal Peh from generation to generation. Once in a long while, an issue will come up and they'll have to paskin. Like in the Parsha, yesterday's Parsha, there's an institution of Zokem Mamre. Zokem Mamre is a rare situation. The Pasuk says, if there'll be Chiluk Ideis, there'll be a Machloikas among the Chachamim, so what's up here? We always had machloikas. So the rabbi in Warsaw paskins one way, the rabbi in Vilna paskins another way. So what's the issue? The only time it'll be an issue is if it's dibrei ribas bisharecha, if it's causing friction in the community. So then you have to resolve it. But if it doesn't cause friction, in one city, the cities are far apart from each other. In one city, the rabbi paskins one way, the other city, the other rabbi paskins another way. So fine. Eilu v'yeru divili kim chai. In fact, the original plan was, the Ramban points out on the opening pasuk, Shoftim v'shotim titl nachah b'chol sherecha, in every city in Eretz Yisrael, and lishvatecha, in every shevet. What do you mean? If every city needs a business, every shevet has 150 cities in it. So there are going to be many batidinim in every shevet. What does it say again, lishvatecha? So the Ramban, Taisus has one suggestion, Taisus in Sanhedrin, and the Ramban HaChumash gives another suggestion. He quotes a Mishnah in the first perek in Horeis, that in addition to the Bezn HaGadol in Yerushalayim, every Shevet had a Bezn HaGadol for its own Shevet. And there's a Machlokes Satanayim in the Mishnah, in the first Perek in Horeis. There is an institution of Parhelem Dover Shel Tzibur. Let's say the Bezn HaGadol made a mistake. They paskin that you're allowed to eat the green chalev. It's only also if you eat chalev, a white chalev, red chalev, bloody chalev. If you eat green color chalev, it's mutter. And then the Rav HaTzibur violates an Issa Kores, based on the mistaken Psaka, the Bezna Gadol. So instead of telling each and every individual person who ate Chelev, he has to bring a Kizba Osir, he has to bring a Chatos, we say the Bezna Gadol brings the one Par Halandov Shel Tziba, one Par Lachatos, and everybody gets the Kapor. So the Tanoim have a Machlekes, but that only applies, Machlekes of Meir Yudah, I think, Machlekes HaTanoim in the Mishnah in the first Perek in Horeis, is that only if the Bezn HaGadol Shel Yerushalayim made the mistake? What if it was the Bezn HaGadol Shel Osa HaShevet? Shevet Reuven has a Bezn HaGadol, and the Reuven of Shevet Reuven, following their Bezn HaGadol of Shevet Reuven, ate the Chalev. So that's a Machlekes HaTanoim, whether that institution, the din of Par Halam Dava Shel Tzibur, applies in such a case or not. So there is such an institution, a Bezin Shel HaShevet. Why do you have a Bezin Shel HaShevet? Because apparently there's nothing wrong. If Shevet Reuven will like tefillin one way, and Shevet Shimon will like tefillin the other way. Shevet Reuven will eat the green chalim, and Shevet Shimon will not eat the green chalim. That's not a problem. There's no friction over there. This Shevet will observe the mitzvahs one way, the other Shevet will observe the mitzvahs the other way. If all of the Chachamim are working with the Midrash HaTorah and the Drashas Mem, so then we say, Eloviyah, the Divrei Elokim Chai. Okay, every Bezin is entitled to their opinion. The only time you have to forward the Shaila to the Bezin HaGadol to issue a psak that everyone should follow, that's if it's Dibrei Ribas Bisharecha, if it's causing friction. If you have in the same community, you have a conflict. So half of the people doing one way, half of the people doing the other way, then you have to get a final psak from the Bezin HaGadol. But most of the time, They didn't bring up the shilas to the Bez Nagodol. The whole intention was that every shevet should have its own Bez Nagodol to paskin for that shevet. Variety is the spice of life for human beings, and Rabbi Shalom also appreciates variety. His plan originally was we should have Yud Bei Shvatim, and every shevet should have its own bezin, and every shevet should have its own derech and avodas Hashem. The Magen Avraham quotes a passage from the Arizal that he made famous, that the Pasuk says in the end of the Navi Yecheskel that Lov Yerushalayim will have a wall around it, and there'll be 13 different Sha'arim, 13 different gates to enter Yerushalayim. Shar Reuven, Shar Shimon, every Shevet will have its own Shar. So whoever knows whatever Shevet he comes from should enter Yerushalayim through that Shar. If a person is a Baal Tshuva, a person is a Ger, and he doesn't know what Shevet he belongs to, so then there was a 13th Shar that was known as the Shar HaKoilel, the miscellaneous Shar. So whoever doesn't know what Shevet he belongs to should go through that Shar. So the Arizal says the idea behind entering Yerushalayim is to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You enter Yerushalayim to visit the Beis HaMikdosh. So there are 13 different ways, 13 different approaches, and they're all valid approaches. Some people approach the Ribbono Shel Olam from this side, some people approach the Ribbono Shel Olam from that side. The Hasidim come from this side, the Mistagim come from that side, and the Yeshivas come from that side. Everyone comes from a different perspective, and they're all valid perspectives. So that's what the Arizal said, that there are 13 different nuschos hatfilo, and whoever knows what shevet he belongs to should daven the nusach hatfilo of that shevet, following his sharish neshama. And then the punchline of the Dvar Torah is, and whoever doesn't know, nobody knows what shevet they belong to today, only the Kohanim and the Levim. Whoever does know what shevet should daven nusach hari. Nusach hari is the shara kailo. That's the miscellaneous shah that's acceptable for everybody. So everybody likes the whole Dvar Torah. The question is the punchline. Is that really the word? That the Nusach Hari is the Shara Kol? That's the question. But the original plan was that they were going to be Yud Bei Shvatim, and every Shevet will do Avodas Hashem according to the Bez Nagodol of the Shevet. You don't have to send. You see, in recent years, we have telephones, we have fax machines, so they sent every single Shiloh all over the world. They sent to Rabbi Yashiv, and everybody has to be Korea, Mishtachva, whatever Rabbi Yashiv is, Zalman Oibach, whatever he says goes. Years ago, they didn't send all the shaylas to Rabbi Chaim Oizer. They didn't send all the shaylas to the Marsham. The local Rabban in Paskin, if there would be friction in the community, then they needed a hachros. So then they would ask Rabbi Chaim Oizer. Then they would ask the Marsham and so on. So the need for the Bez Nagodol is only in rare cases. There are another two types of Bati Dinim that the Mishnayis talk about. There's a Bezn. The Gemara is going to say, for Ibra HaShonah, Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra HaShonah, Meikar HaDin is sufficient with a Bezn of three. So the Gemara says, no, but L'chatchila, when they decide Ibra HaShonah, that they should make this year a leap year to have 13 months instead of 12 months in a given year. So you start off the Bezn and starts off with three Dayanim, and then as they proceed, they should add on another three, make it a Bezn of six. And then when they're about to come to the conclusion, they should have a Bezn of nine. So that's an unusual bezin. Then the Gemara says, but b'diyevet, if they declared the Ibra HaShonah for the bezin of three, it would be good b'diyevet. That's only a l'chatchila. You should have a bezin of nine. The question is, it really min HaTorah? The pashtus is min HaTorah. It's a bezin of three is good enough. Then the Mishnah has another rare din. If somebody is magdish karka in New York, so what's Hegdish going to do with Karka New York? The head Beis HaMikdash has to be in Yerushalayim. It has to be a certain location. So the Gizbar is going to auction it off to the highest bidder, and it's going to take the money and use the money to fix up the Beis HaMikdash, to paint, to fix up whatever, to buy chairs for the Beis HaMikdash, whatever the Beis HaMikdash needs the money for. So how does the Gizbar determine what should be the minimum bid? So the Mishnah says, based on Pesukim and Chumash, that the word HaKoyin, Ve'emen HaKoyin, Herach HaKoyin, so the word HaKoyin is mentioned 10 times. So the Mishnah says, HaKarkoyin is Tisha B'Koyin. If somebody donated Karka to Hegdish, so you have to make a Bezdin of 10, not 10 Rabbanim, 10 Talmid Chacham, 10 Jewish people who know real estate, and they should decide, they should paskin, what's the minimum bid? What is the value of this real estate? And what should the Gizbar accept as the minimum bid? He's not going to bid the Yevid if you have Heg the Shavar Mana, Shechil al Shavar Put, it'll be Mechul al Bid Yevid. But Lachatchila, you're not supposed to auction it for less than it's worth. It's be a Hepsit for the Hegdash. So the Mishnah says you have to have Tisha B'Kohen, you have to have a Bezna of 10. 9 can be Yisraelim, and one of the 10 has to be a Kohen. So the Gemara discusses that. So Tosfos points out it's a very strange Bezna. Usually we have the rule, Ein Bezna Shokol. You're not supposed to constitute a Bezna with an even number of Dayanim. And here that's the din, that you're supposed to have a number of 10. So that's a Yotzim and a Klal. That's a rare situation. Sometimes we have, the Gemara talks about Asorah Sheyoshva B'din, Meyo Sheyoshva B'din. You had a Dintur, you had 100 Dayanim, you had 10 Dayanim. How did they have a Bezin of 10? There's a Din named Bezin Shokol. So the different suggestions are given. The Stipler thinks that the best, he writes in the Sefer on Sanhedrin, he thinks the best teretz on the Kasha is that this, we'll have to learn the Gemara to see if it's correct or not. He thinks that this halacha that we learned out from the Chumash, Ein Bezin Shokol, you should never have an even number Bezin. It's only a din in darshaning, being kaveh, what's the minimum number of dayanim you need for the bezdin. So you can never establish that you need a bezdin of 10. A bezdin of dintar din imam is a bezdin of 3. But if you think that you need more, you want to have 10, there's no halacha that says you can't have an even number of bezdin. The halacha says, when you darshan the psukim, establish how many people you need in the bezdin. So you can't say a bezdin of 2, a bezdin of 4. It has to be an odd number. Can't say a bezna of 22 or 24. The minimum number of the bezna has to be 23, an odd number. But then lemaisa, if you want to have 26, a gezuntahet, there's no halacha that lemaisa you need a bezna. Nothing wrong with a bezna shokol. It's in establishing what the minimum number of dayanim is. We'll have to keep our eyes open to see whether that's really a correct approach or not. The pasuk says in yesterday's sedra. Ki polim imcha dova la mishpat bein dam le dam bein din le din bein nega le nega dibre ribes bisherecher, there'll be friction because of the machloikas among the chachamim. So you have to present the shaila to the bezna hagadol in Yerushalayim. The Gemara learns that. The Gemara in Sanhedrin learns that. The kamta v'yalisa el amokam elamish amokam gorim. If the bezna hagadol was not sitting in their official location, they went to a bar mitzvah and based pagi. Today pagi means poyale agudas Yisrael. And the Gemara Pagi doesn't mean, has nothing to do with Pali Aguda. Pagi, Chamora Beis Pageha. What do you mean Chamora Beis Pageha? The Chamora has nothing to do with Pali Aguda. Beis Pageha means the saddle and the harness on top of the animal. Something that's Tzugat Shepet, something that's on the outskirts of the Chamora. So Beis Pagi means a location on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. So somebody had a bar mitzvah, somebody had a shever brachas, whatever, and all the members of the Bezin HaGadol were there, and someone asked them a shaila, and all of them paskin pe'echod, a psak, and then one rabbi paskins against them. So the Gemara said there's no punishment of Zokan Mamre if the psak wasn't given by the Bezna Gadol Bim Kamam. If they were in Beis Pagi, they were not in Yerushalayim where they're supposed to be, they were in a different location. So then the holding of Zokan Mamre doesn't apply. So that's a serious question. What is the location where the Bezna Gadol is supposed to be? So the Gemara says, Rashi and Chumash quotes at the end of Parshas Yisro, Chumash speaks about Mizbach Adoma Tasali. And then the beginning of Mishpatim talks about Bezdin. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, from the Mechilta, the Smichas HaParshias, from the Pasuk, in the end of Parshas Yisra, Mizbach Avonim Tasali, in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, teaches us that you need Sanhedrin Samach L'Mizbeach. Rabban Chumash explains that since the psokim of the Bezna Gadol are binding on all of Klal Yisrael, so we want that they should have a divine assistance, a siyata d'shmaya, that they shouldn't pasken in error. Human beings can always make mistakes. So we want the Bezna Gadol should be as close as possible to the Shechina. So we want the Bezna Gadol used to meet in a room that was chetzi b'kodesh, chetzi b'chol. The Lishka Sagol, half of it was kodesh b'kdushas hazora, the other half was kodesh b'kdushas harabayis. And Azara, the Gemara has a din. It's a question whether it's a din deraisa, a din derabana, but it is a din on the books. Ein yeshiva ba'azara. No one's allowed to sit in the Azara unless the individual wants to sit down as the melech and the malche beis David. Even the kohen gadol is not allowed to sit in the Azara. That's what it says in the Gemara. Maybe other sources say not so, but in the Gemara it says even the kohen gadol is not allowed to sit in the Azara. So the Bezna Gadol used to meet in a room that was chetzi ba'kodesh. Half of it had kedushas azara, where you're not allowed to sit. And they sat in the other half. Why'd they have to run such a risk? Why did they meet in a room that was chetzi b'kodesh, chetzi b'chol? Why don't they meet somewhere in the Har HaBayis? So we say, no, they want to be as close as possible to the Mizbech. And the Rabban explains, the closer they are to the Oren, to the Lucha, so we assume the more Siyata the Shema they'll have to pass him properly, not to make a mistake. So one opinion could well be, there are different opinions in the Mishan, what does it mean? Malamed Shahamokim Gorim, where is the Mokim of the Bez Nagor? Where are they supposed to be? So some hold Dafke in the Beis HaMikdash. Once they leave the Beis HaMikdash, there's not in the right Mokim. Others say, no, the whole Yerushalayim, anywhere in Yerushalayim is acceptable. Once they leave, Mitzona Beis Pagi, if the Zaka Mamri heard a psak from them, they were in Beis Pagi. Beis Pagi means a location on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. If you're not in Yerushalayim, then you're not in the right Mokim. So that's the question. Where exactly is the correct Mokim? The Gemara says that 40 years before the Churban Bayisheni was Churban in the year 70, we usually assume. So the Gemara says 40 years before that, in the year 30, the Sanhedrin went into a self-imposed Golus. And the Gemara explains why. In the end of Sota, there were murderers, Jewish murderers running around all over the place, and they weren't able to control it. And they felt it's not proper. How can we sit in the Lishka Sagosa? We are the chief rabbis. We're not able to control the crime. So they all resigned. So they all left and they said, no more Bez Nagor. It's not proper to maintain the position of Bez Nagor, to take a salary and be and sitting in the Beis HaMikdash, and you're not able to take care of what you're supposed to take care of. So the Gemara says, from that time on, not only is there no longer any din of Zaka Mamre, no more din in the Nefashis. The last 40 years after the Bez Nagor left, the Lishka Sagozes, it can't be done din in the Nefashis anywhere in the whole wide world, because the Pashtus is that it's one big system of Sanhedrois. All the Sanhedrin all over the world in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Lo'ez, every Sanhedrin Ktana that consists of 23 Dayanim is part of the big judiciary system that has as its head the Supreme Court of the Ayin Aleph in Yerushalayim. So once the Ayin Aleph, once the Bez Nagodol is not there, because Malam Shambakum Gorim, so the whole system of Sanhedrin collapses and you can't be done Dinin Nefashis at all. But Dinin Mominis is a Bez Nav Gimel. That's a big question. What about Malkus? What about Malkus? So the Mishnah has a Machlokes Hatanaim. How big a bezn do you need for Malkus? So one Tana is of the opinion that you need a bezn of 23 because Malkus b'makom Misa Emetus. We don't accept his opinion. What do you mean we don't accept his opinion? We paskin Malkus b'gimel. It means we don't accept his idea, the premise of his opinion. Malkus tachas Misa Emetus. So we'll learn. The Rambam writes, Afal pisha Malkus tachas Misa Emetus. The premise of that sheet that we do accept, Malkus is Tachas Misa Meres, but Malkus is Begimel, you don't need Chav Gimel. So that's a question, can you give Malkus Bizman She'en Beis HaMikdash Kayim? You don't need, if you would have needed a Bezn of Chav Gimel for Malkus, so all the Sanhedros all over the world are one big system, one big judiciary system together with the Supreme Court in Yerushalayim. So once it's no longer a Bezn HaGadol of Ayin Aleph, because Malamed Shamuk and Gorim, they went into exile, so there's no Sanhedrin. But if you paskin that you don't need a Bezn of Chav Gimel, we paskin Bezn of Gimel is enough for Malkus, maybe still is a din. The Gemara learns out from another pasuk that you can't have din in the Nefashis bizman she'en kohen oved. If there's no Kohanim, there's no Kohanim bringing karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash, so you can't be done din in the Nefashis. And maybe since we hold Malkus tachas misa emedes, maybe you can't be done din in Malkus bizman hazeh. That's a question. So the Rambam writes explicitly that any place where you have the days of the Rambam, already nobody had any smicha. The smicha had already disappeared. The whole institution collapsed. But the Rambam writes, Malkum b'chol mokum mizman hazeh. Any location where you have three people have smicha, you can give Malkus mizman hazeh. It doesn't depend on kohen oved. And the Mishlam Melech, in his Sefer Derech Mitzvah Secho, Mishlam Melech wrote a little sefer on Drush that's called Parashas Drachim. So at the end of that sefer, he has a kuntres that's called Derech Mitzvah Secha. It's around 30 pages or so. A little kuntres. Now they print it in the end of the sefer on mitzvahs, where he writes what exactly are the disputes, the debates between the Rambam and the Ramban and the sefer Achinuch regarding the minyan mitzvahs. And he has a few comments there about sefer mitzvahs and minyan mitzvahs. In the middle, he points out that even though the Rambam writes that it's not necessary to have Kohen Oved in order to give Malkus, but he quotes that the Smag disagrees. Smag says that just like you need a Kohen Oved to give Misa, so too you can't give Malkus Mizman HaZeh. So he points out that, Mishlam Melech points out that historically This was a big problem in the 1500s, the early 1500s, in Tzfat. Most of the Rabbanim in Eretz lived in Tzfat, as opposed to Yerushalayim. For two reasons. First of all, the water in Yerushalayim was polluted. It was unhealthy. It was full of worms. Worms are kosher worms, but it's unhealthy to swallow the worms. So the water in Tzfat was healthier. And then number two, they were expecting, they were hoping maybe Moshiach would appear. And the Gemara has a tradition, Eliyahu HaNavi will appear in front of the Bezna HaGadol to announce that tomorrow Melech HaMashiach will appear. And where will the Bezna HaGadol be located? So the Rambam quotes the Gemara in the end of Rosh Hashanah, wherever they met last. Every day the Bezna HaGadol goes home, they go to sleep. And then the next day they reconvene. So the Bezna HaGadol hasn't met for almost 2,000 years, since the year 30. 40 years before the Churban HaBayis, Bezna HaGadol stopped meeting. So wherever the last location was, so the Rambam writes from the Gemara in the end of Rosh Hashanah, they will reconvene in that location. So where was the last location where they met? So all of the Gemara says, Eser Golias Golsa Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin at the end of the Bayis Sheni period went into Golis 10 different times to 10 different places. And the last couple places were all in the Galil. Usho, Shfaram, Tveria, Tzipori, all around the same area. So that's why the Mukubolim all were hoping that Eliyahu Novi will appear in front of the Bezna HaGadol and announce tomorrow Mashiach is coming. So they wanted to be there. They wanted to live in the Galil in the hope that they're going to reconvene as Hedron there and they'll be there to be Mekabel, not that we talk about in Yiddish, to be Mekabel Pnei Melech HaMashiach. The Gemara talks about to be Mekabel Pnei Eliyahu HaNovi. So they wanted to be there to be Mekabel Eliyahu HaNovi when he'll come to the Bezna HaGadol. So most of the Rabbanim in the 1500s lived in the Galil section. Many of them lived in the Tzfat. So they wanted to reinstitute the Smicha. Because the Rambam writes in three different places, you'll have to learn it this year, there's one kind of Smicha, Ish Mipi Ish Ad Moshe Abeinu, then there's another kind of Smicha. Even if nobody has any Smicha, if all of the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael join together and they decide to confer Smicha on some individual, so that's also a root. That's also a form of smicha. That's known as chidush asmicha. What motivated them? Why did they want to give? And they gave Rabbi Yosef Kara got smicha. Nalshah got smicha. They gave six people got smicha. Nothing ever came out of it. That's why the Sfardim always have the practice. They always follow Moran HaBes Yosef. Why? Because the Bes Yosef got smicha. The Ramo didn't get smicha. The Ramo wasn't there in Tzfat. Can't get smicha in Poland. Amor lived in Poland, and Rabbi Yisachar lived in Eretz Yisrael. When they did the Chiddush HaSmicha, the first customer who got the Smicha was Chacham Yosef Karam. So why did they want to get Smicha? Why did they want to make a Bezin? Because at the end of the 1400s, many Jews had converted to Christianity in order to save their lives in Spain and Portugal. And the din is that Avodah Zarah is Yehoreg Val Yavah. You're not supposed to, Pikoch Nefesh is not Doche, you're supposed to give up your life, and they didn't. So they felt that they were Chayiv Koris. For worshipping Avodah Zarah, they felt that they're Chayiv Koris. So the Rambam writes that you're not Chayiv Koris. The Rambam writes, in Hilchos Sedei HaTorah, when he writes the din of Yehoreg Val Yavah, so he writes, even though you're supposed to give up your life, but if you didn't, Oynes Rachmana Patre, so the person will not be Chayiv Koris, and will not be Chayiv Mises Bezin. But the Ges Mishneh quotes that there are other Rishonim who disagree with the Rambam, who feel that since the Halacha says that Yehoreg Val Yavar, so they would be Chayiv Koris. So these people were concerned that they worshipped Avodah Zarah for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh, and they thought that the Chayiv Koris, they weren't going with the Rambam. And then the Gemara says in the third parak in Makkos, Chol Chayiv Krisu Shaloku, Nifturu Midei Krisusim. If a person deserves the punishment of Koris and he got Malkus, so the Koris will be wiped off. So they wanted to get Malkus in order that there shouldn't be Chayiv Koris. And they were assuming that if you have three people who have Smicha, they can give Malkus Bismanazek because the Rambam writes so. And the other thing, they didn't follow the Rambam. The Rambam says one who worshipped Avodah Zarah to save his life violated the mitzvah v'haftas Hashem l'kech b'chol nafshach afilo noitles nafshach, he didn't fulfill the mitzvah essay. But he didn't. He doesn't deserve a punishment of Koris and Mises Bezin for violating Avodah Zarah. That was Pikuach Nefesh. That's Oynes Rachmana Patre. So that Rambam they didn't follow. And this Rambam they followed. So that's what the Mishnah Melech points out. How were they so convinced that they're going to give Malkus? Because Manazeh, the Smag says that you can't, just like you can't give Din Nefashis, unless there's a Kohen Oiv, unless there's a Kohen being Makrev Karbonis, You can't give Malka Sida. But that was what happened. And Lemaisa, they gave a few people smicha, but then they never gave any, I don't think they ever gave anybody any Malkas. The whole purpose of the smicha was in order to be able to give the Malkas. That never happened. The Gemara tells a story later on Daf Nun Beis in Sanhedrin. In the days of the Amoraim, there was one Amora who had in his community had a situation of a bas kohen shezinso chayv sreifa. So the Gemara says there are two ways to give sreifa. You can burn the person alive, burn the person at the stake, or you can pour melted lead down the throat and burn out the kishkas inside. So the Gemara says you have a mitzvah, v'hafta l'racha kamoicha. Included in the mitzvah is bro lo misa yofa. If there are two ways to administer misa's bezin, so give him the mo'bekavadik away. So the Gemara says if you're giving sreifa, mo'bekavadik away is to pour the lead down the throat. So this Amora had a situation of a bas kohen shezinsa. So he burnt her alive, he burnt her at the lake. So the Gemara says he made two little mistakes. He gave sreifa kipshuto, and that's against the Mishnayos. And then he lived in the days of the Amoraim. There was no hakrobas hakarbonis in the Beis Hamikdash. There was no bez nagod on the lishkas hagozis. So Bizmanazeh, he can't administer din in the fashas. He made another mistake. He gave din in the fashas Bizmanazeh. Bizman shein sanher, Bizman shein ein hakrobas hakarbonis. So it's a pele. The Gemara says he made two mistakes. So there's a famous marshal, not Gemara, in the bottom of the page where the marsha is. You have the marshal. So that's a famous marshal that they talk about in all the history books. Mashal thinks that the one kasha for emph is the other kasha. He says, no, the person knew that Bizman Hazeh, you don't administer din in the fashas, but we have a cloud. Bez makam yanshin shalom and adin. It's in choshim ish, but sim and beis. Bezn has a right to administer a punishment even though the person doesn't deserve it. So even though Bizman Hazeh has supposed to administer din in the fashas, but he has a right to do lahay rosho lemigda milsa. So whenever you're doing lahay rosho lemigda milsa, so the Gemara says, v'loy labral di retaira, you should do it in such a way that you're in violation of the laws of the Torah. What do you mean you shouldn't do in violation? So there's a Ravid in Ksubis on the bottom of the page of the Rif, in the fourth parak in Ksubis. So the Ravid writes, and the Ramo quotes this in Choshim Mishpat, from the Tshuvas HaGoinim. The Ravid also quotes it from the Tshuvas HaGoinim. Let's say there's somebody today who violates Oinus HaMefata Moitzi Shemra. So in the Chumash it says, you make him pay Chamishim Shekel, you make him pay Mei Shekel. But the Zana says, we don't have any Smuchim, and you don't say Shlichusai Haman Knas. So they can't make him pay the Chamishim Shekels. So he goes off scot-free. So there are more quotes from the Tshuvas HaGoinim, and the Rabbi quotes it also. No, Bezim HaKam Yonshin Shalom Menadin, but the Bezim shouldn't make him pay Chamishim Shekel or Meir Shekel. They should make him pay 40, 60. Make him pay something else. You don't do exactly what the Torah says you do, but you can't do it Bezman HaZeh. You don't have smicha. So if you want to do HaKam Yonshin Shalom Menadin, you do it slightly differently. So the Mashal says, that's what one kasha, for emphasis the other. The fellow was giving din in the fashas bizman hazeh, that's against the din. So he felt he wants to give makam yanshin shalom and adin lahay rasha lemigdam milsa. So that's why he gave this reifer in a different form, dafka to be mishan. And then the marshal says, I'm an apikoris, I'm disagreeing with the Gemara. So he says, enani kechayla kala gemara. I'm not arguing with the Gemara, it's a question of history. The Gemara is judging that historically he made two mistakes. And I'm explaining, based on history, maybe one kasha for emphasis, I didn't make any mistake at all. But I'm not arguing in halacha with the Gemara, I'm just arguing in history. So that's a question that the history books talk about. The Achreinim accept this Marshal's idea, or do they not accept this Marshal's idea? That's a whole discussion. So here, just I'll close with this. The Parsha says, in Parsha of Zalkan Marm, it says, if there'll be a dispute, bein dam la dam, bein din la din, bein nega la nega, so you bring everything to the Bez Nagol. So in the Sefer, Arderis Eliyahu, which was written by the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, most of the Sifrei Hagro were written by the Talmidim, not by the Gro himself. So they quote from the Vilna Gaon that he said, Kan kil la hatorah, kol gimel chelke hatorah. There are three different areas in halacha. Dam la dam is isa v'heta, to determine whether the woman is a nida or not. Din le din is dini moment. It's a negla negas tuma v'tara. These are three different areas of halacha. Each area of halacha, all the dinim fit into one big pattern, one big mosaic, and that's why the Gemara learns out mi din echad lachaveru. You make a kal v'chamim mi din echad lachaveru ma'amatzinu. But the Gemara has, there are two restrictions. Isurim mi mamoina lo yafinun, and isa mi tuma lo yafinun. Because mamonis is one area, and isa v'heter is another area, and tuma v'tara is the third area. So that's what the Vilna Gaon says. That's what the pasuk says. Bein dam le dam is isa v'heter. Nida is an issue of Yisra v'heta. Bein din l'din is dini maminis, and nega l'nega is tumah v'tahara. So then the Gemara says, in addition to these three basic areas of halacha, there are another three areas that are sort of subcategories. So part of the category of Yisra v'heta is kochim. The Gemara says some of us learned Ezel Mekayman in June. Some students decided they wanted to learn Ezel Mekayman. So in the Perek and Ezel Mekayman, the Gemara has a few blot Gemara. The Gemara talks about one of the Midrash Atar Nidresh has been Ein Lemeidim Lamed Ben Alamed Bekotchim. If you learn that B from A, based on a Kavachayma, Mamatzin, or whatever, can you learn out C from B? If in B it was only learned out from A. So in Kola Tarakula, we assume Lemeidim Lamed Ben Alamed. If B was learned out from A, you can go right and learn C from B and learn D from C and so on. And in Kochim, sometimes you cannot. Ein lemeidim lamim en alamim. Then Tosis has in the first perik in Zvachim that the Gemara says, in Kochim you need Shina lavakasu liyakev. If the Pasuk says Adin, we have the right to assume it's only lachatchila, it's not miyakev, but yevin in Kochim, unless it's repeated. If Shina lavakasu, if it's written a second time, pam shneya, then it's liyakev. So you see that the Midrash HaTorah Nidresh Behem are slightly different in the area of Kochim. The Kochim is a subcategory of Yisra v'Heta, which has slightly different Midrash HaTorah Nidresh Behem. Then the Gemara says there are another two subcategories. Another subcategory is Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says, Maseches Avodah Zarah. We have a pasuk that says, regarding Avodah Zarah, Shaketz t'shaktsenu v'sa'ev t'sa'avenu k'cherim hu. So the Gemara understands from that pasuk as follows. Let's say there's a suffix, how to establish the halacha, and it's a toss-up. You can either say lahakel or lahachmer, and the chacham has a slight nadias hadas lahakel. So the Rama writes in Yeridaya and Hilchas Hayruah Sisibahet in Chela Gimel Yeridaya that a Talmud chacham has the right, if a person is qualified, he has the right to paskin even lahakel based on a slight nadias hadas, but not in the area of Avodah Zarah. If it's only a slight nadias hadas lahakel, we don't accept that. The Midrash HaTorah Nidresh Behem are slightly different based on this pasuk. Shaketz to shaktsenu v'sa'ev to sa'aven. You can only have a right to darshan lahakel if you're really convinced that it's lahakel. And then the Gemara has such a similar din in Maseches Sanhedrin. Another subcategory of halacha is din in nefashos. The din in nefashos, because we have the pasuk v'hitzila ho'edo, so Bezn always bends over backward in order to acquit the Nidon, in order to pat to him that he shouldn't be Chayiv Misa. So the Gemara has such a similar thing. Let's say you have a Pasuk, and it's unclear how to establish the Halacha. And the Bezna, the Chachamim, have a slight Netiyas Hadas, Lahachmer. They think that he should be Chayiv Misa. So usually a slight Netiyas Hadas is good, Lahaka Lahachmer, whatever it is. Indeed in the Foshas, a slight Netiyas Hadas is not sufficient, because it says, V'hitzila Ho'edo, you have to be fully convinced, you have to have a strong conviction that it's so. Otherwise, you have no right to paskin. You see the Gemara's laid on Daf Samach Tes, and other Gemara's about that v'hitzil away. So this is this year we're going to learn Sanhedrin's very rich Mishnah. You have Dinim Mominus, and you have Yisra v'Heta, and you have Dinim Nefashos, and you have the Bezn of Gimel, the Bezn of Chav Gimel, the Bezn of Ayin Aleph. It's a lot. It's a very rich Mishnah. I happen to love Sanhedrin more than other Mishnahs, because when I was a teenager and I entered Rav Soloveitchik Shir the first year, he learned Sanhedrin Daf Beis. So that's why that's my most beloved Masechta. Should have a successful year.